For six families, this new year starts with a loss still painfully fresh. These are the families of the six Air Force personnel killed by a suicide bomber in Afghanistan on December 21st. Funeral services will be held for two of them tomorrow. Chester McBride will be buried in Statesboro, Georgia, and Louis Bonacosa will be laid to rest in Coram, New York. On Wednesday, funeral services were held for another New Yorker who died, National Guardsman and police detective Joseph Lem. You may have seen the picture of Lem's four-year-old son Ryan sitting atop a man's shoulders, saluting as his father's casket was carried from St. Patrick's Cathedral in Manhattan. Here Now's Alex Ashlock reports a lot on the military and veterans issues. He had these thoughts on 2015.
According to the website iCasualties.org, 22 American troops died in Afghanistan in 2015. These latest deaths bring the total to more than 2,300. That's after 15 years of war. And the fact that one of the people killed last week was a woman, Major Adriana Vorderbruggen, seemed to highlight a paradox of sorts that was debated this past year. The question of whether women should be allowed to serve in all combat positions when they're already dying on the battlefield. Lauren Augustine is an Army veteran. She served in a reconnaissance unit in Iraq.
I would say that not every man is meant for the infantry, just like not every woman is going to be meant for the infantry. All that this policy is asking is that it be allowed the opportunity for women to showcase that they can be a vital and helpful aspect of the combat field.
Chad Russell is a retired Marine. He served in the infantry in Iraq and fought in one of the bloodiest encounters of that war, the Battle of Fallujah in 2004. He believes there's a big difference between being in a combat zone and actually being in a battle.
There's a big difference being exposed to an IED, right, going out and being in attachment versus being in a sustained combat role day after day after day in these high-stress environments.
Defense Secretary Ash Carter settled the issue in early December when he announced that he's opening all combat positions to female fighters. The head of the Marine Corps had asked for some exceptions, but Carter overruled him.
They'll be allowed to drive tanks, fire mortars, and lead infantry soldiers into combat. They'll be able to serve as Army Rangers and Green Berets, Navy SEALs, Marine Corps Infantry, Air Force Parajumpers, and everything else that was previously open only to men.
While the military of the future continues to take shape, I had a chance to spend some time with veterans of past wars in September when the Congressional Medal of Honor Society held its convention in Boston. Clint Romachet earned his Medal of Honor for bravery during the Battle of Kamdesh in Afghanistan in 2009. Despite his own wounds, he rallied his unit and kept fighting after they were ambushed by a large number of Taliban fighters.
You know, the stigma a lot of people just don't really understand a lot is they think it's to receive the medal you have to be this expert in marksmanship or aggressive in combat. And when you break it down to them and say, look, I just did a job, didn't do anything more or less than the guys to my left or right.
Another Medal of Honor recipient, Gary Wetzel, had his left arm shattered when his helicopter was shot down over Vietnam in 1968. But on the ground, he manned a machine gun and led a counterattack. I listened as he told a group of high school students that when he was in the hospital recovering from his wounds, men from his Army unit came to see him. They showed him photos of their girlfriends, their wives, their children, and they thanked him for keeping them alive.
Combat is the most incredible cacophony of screams, explosions, bullets zipping by.
That's Joe Galloway. When he was a young reporter in Vietnam, he found himself covering and fighting in the first major combat mission involving American soldiers in that war, the Battle of Yadrang. Galloway and other veterans of the battle marked its 50th anniversary during a reunion in Washington in November.
There are some events that are so horrific and so all-consuming that you cannot be neutral. You cannot be a witness who stands apart from those who are dying to keep you alive.
Being in the military does not make you a hero, but there is something worth recognizing in service and sacrifice, especially when those actions ripple out far beyond the person in the uniform. You could just ask those six families, whose lives were changed forever, 4 days before Christmas. For Here and Now, I'm Alex Ashlock.